I'm going to read this evening from Genesis chapter 39 and consider for a few moments the character of Mrs. Potiphar. Verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favour in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. And I'll pause there. In one respect, we might think that verse 2 is being rather ironic about Joseph. We're told he was successful. Yet we also know he was a household slave, having been taken away by the Ishmaelites, away from his own family, away from his own land, into a foreign land where he is the property of another. And yet the days are coming when this kidnapped man, this slave, is going to become prime minister of Egypt. And running the household of Potiphar is going to give him practice on a small scale of what it's going to be like to run a country. Joseph might not understand that at the time, but God is in fact preparing him for something bigger and better. So good is he, in fact, that Potiphar seems to have no interest in the running of his own household because Joseph does a better job. All he knows is what he eats for his dinner every day. He leaves the rest to Joseph. Now in verse 7, we're introduced to Potiphar's wife. But the first point I'd like to make of her in the first half dozen verses is that although she doesn't feature in the text, she is a beneficiary of Joseph's work. Normally, the wife would be expected to run the household, while the husband, Potiphar, who is captain of the guard, is out at work. In fact, Joseph has relieved her of that responsibility. And God is blessing the household. I think it is wealthier and happier and better organised than it has ever been before. Not just because Joseph is a good and wholesome administrator, but because the Lord is blessing his work. And she is benefiting from that. She is living a happier life because of that. And we're told that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He's a good-looking man. Unfortunately, that is now going to become a disadvantage for him. Because we're told in verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." As a slave, we might possibly expect him to have to comply with the boss's wife. But he doesn't. And he replies in verse 8, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand." In other words, I am in a position of trust. "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife." So Joseph has access to the money, to the keys, to the scrolls, to the deeds, everything. But Joseph understands that his wife is absolutely off limit. And he goes on to say, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He understands it wouldn't just be a crime against Potiphar, nor against his own body, but actually against the great God of heaven. "The law of Moses has not yet been delivered." 400 years away. And yet Joseph is aware that to sleep with another man's wife is sinful behaviour, which he cannot do Even if he were to get away with it, even if Potiphar's wife were to keep the secret and Potiphar never find out, God would know, and Joseph is aware of that. Despite the fact that she has a better life with Joseph in charge of the household, she looks at him in a longing way and wants to break her marriage vows. She ought to have been challenged by what he tells her in verse 9, but in fact, it seems to only encourage her or inspire her to keep on trying. Verse 10, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. Now that's important. She is constantly pestering him. If you're familiar with the account of the Lord's temptation in the wilderness, we understand he was tempted three times. And then at the end of it, we're told the devil went away until an opportune time. In other words, he came back. And I suspect the Lord was tempted many thousands of times, not just the three we have on record. And there is a battle in the life of the believer. Day after day, we're tempted to do X, Y, and Z. And day after day, we are expected to say no. And the devil perseveres. Our sinful nature is constantly wanting to drag us down and pull us back. To make the dog's vomit or the sow's mud look like an attractive place to return. Indeed, he'll often tell us of the cucumbers of Egypt. But it will seem that Joseph, to his credit, continues to say no. He did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. In other words, he tries to remove himself from the source of the temptation. We're not told this directly, but I'm pretty sure she would position herself in a way. She is perhaps bored. She doesn't have a household to run. Potiphar may be an older man. We know that he's a senior official in Pharaoh's household. He's also very busy, perhaps doesn't give her the attention she thinks that she deserves. And here is this good-looking young man in her very household. Well, it gets worse in verse 11. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside that she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. This time she's holding on to him. But he left his garment in her hand and fled outside. And that might be a good and proper thing to do. He's alone with her and wants to remove himself from that situation, to go where these other men of the household will be, where they can witness the fact that he's not alone with her. And yet she had in her possession his garment. Verse 14, she called to the men of her house, who before she was avoiding, and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. Now, how has Joseph mocked her? How has Joseph mocked the rest of the household? And notice also, she doesn't refer to him by name, but refers to his ethnicity. That Hebrew, that foreigner. He's making sport of us, he's messing us around. Looking down on us, he came in to me to lie with me. And I cried out with a loud voice, not loud enough that anyone heard it. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. And of course, it looks like a very plausible tale. She has framed him. Could he have done better? Could he have not fallen into that trap? I think he's behaved Righteously, he's removed himself from her once again. But she's keeping hold of that garment. Verse 16, she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like this, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me." So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. It might be that the men to whom she appeals initially don't believe her. Chances are Mrs. Potiphar hasn't just fallen for Joseph, but she's been after a few of them. Maybe. And yet in verse 19, so it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. I remember in a Bible study a few years ago looking at this and asking, to whom was the anger directed? The obvious answer is to Joseph. And yet we know that he trusted Joseph. Could the anger be aimed at his wife? Does he feel like he's been betrayed by Joseph or betrayed by his wife? Well, he doesn't take his wife to prison, but then I don't suppose he could. He puts Joseph in the royal prison. So now the household has lost its steward and the blessing of God which came with him. Potiphar is worse off. His wife is worse off. And their marriage perhaps is suffering as a result. All to all, it's a very kind of unsavoury tale. Mrs. Potiphar really represents to us here the world, the flesh and the devil. It will always try to find a way to pull us down, to rob our joy, to hinder our ministry, to trip us up. And day after day, we have to resist it, not to heed it, not to be with it, to use Paul's language, to crucify it. And if it's the devil or his minions tempting us, to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And yet, does it not look like, for all Joseph's virtue, he lost in the end? He ends up in prison, even though he did nothing wrong. Well, in one respect, this imprisonment has rescued him from Potiphar's wife. He keeps having to avoid her, and providentially, God has now provided for that removal. And although he may have fallen out with Potiphar, evidently in verse 9, he's more afraid of God even than his employer. And he might be in prison, and he's fallen out of favour with Potiphar and Potiphar's wife and the whole household, and word has got round, of course, but he knows he's right with God. Far better to be right with God than to be unpopular, and to be the talk of the town, but on poor terms with our Creator. The other point I'd like to make in closing is that although Mrs. Potiphar is quite a devious, unpleasant character, God used her. God used her. I'm sure you're all familiar with the story of Joseph. I don't think any of you fainted with a surprise when I said he's going to become Prime Minister of Egypt. But how does he transition from being a household slave to Pharaoh's right-hand man? Well, we know that in the next chapter, being in the royal prison, he interprets dreams and comes to the attention of Pharaoh. Pharaoh has dreams and Joseph interprets them and Pharaoh puts him in charge. But he had to end up in that prison. And Mrs. Potiphar was the means by which he got there. Does that mean that God approved of what she did? No. A couple of us were looking at the Westminster Confession earlier, the Catechism. And we were looking at that claim that God is sovereign and works providentially. He is not the author of evil, but he is sovereign. And he's able to use it for a greater good. And this wicked woman, who should have treated Joseph with respect, because he treated her with respect, she plots his destruction, but God uses him to save the whole of Egypt and eventually to reconcile him to his family. So beware of evil, beware of temptation. And sometimes we will suffer for doing the right thing. But never underestimate the power of God to use an unfortunate, unpleasant, undesirable and evil circumstance for our good and his greater glory. Amen.